Shalom, Mishpacha. Thank you so much for tuning in to another segment of Covered in Spirit and Truth with your sister, Aja Bat Yalisha. Family, I have a treat for you today. So I don't know how many of you guys listened to the previous segment that I did, and I interviewed my occulti, Ari of Mashiach's Assembly. And family, the rapport was just so wonderful. I asked her if she mind coming back and doing another series with me that I'm starting, and we're going to be going through the book of Tobit. And she says, okay, let's do it. So family, with no further ado, sister, greet the people.
Hi, everyone. Thank you again for having me. And I'm really excited to go through the book of Tobit. Like we were saying, there's so much in these few pages, so many themes. And, you know, I just had read it yesterday for the first time and I kept pausing and going, wow, oh my gosh. So, yeah, let's get into it.
Definitely. Hallelujah. Okay, so before we get into the segment, sis, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Okay. Let's do that.
Awesome. Okay.
Abba Yah, we come before you humbly, seeking your face, seeking your word and truth. And we thank you for the fellowship. And we just ask that your Ruach HaKodesh be with us, dwelling in us, surrounding us, and imbuing us with wisdom and understanding, because you said in Proverbs, in all thy getting, get wisdom and get understanding. And that's what we are here to do. And we just pray that every word that comes out of our mouths are in truth and in righteousness, and that they can be received by all of those who hear this podcast, and that they bear good fruit. We pray these things in your name, Abba Yah. We pray in the name of our Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, who is the Word in the flesh. We pray in the name of your Ruach HaKodesh, which you have gifted to us and we so humbly receive, which gives us wisdom and guides us. And we just thank you and we say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, family. So that was a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much, Ari. So I would like to ask you, what translation are you going to be reading from? Because I'm thinking, being that we're going to be kind of, you know, going back and forth, if you can do, how many verses are in chapter one? Chapter one has 22 verses. So if you could cover chapter one, we'll go in and give the people a brief commentary. And then I'll go in and do chapter two. That's okay, good with you?
That's good with me. And I'm reading, so I'm reading from the Sefer.
Okay, awesome. Me too.
Okay. And I apologize to everyone out there if I, you know, butcher the names. I try. We try.
Right. We try. Sometimes I just be like, okay, so it spells such and such. Yeah. So, all right, family, disclaimer, okay, we may botch the name. That is why you are to study, to show yourselves approved. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping right now that you guys are opening up your Bible apps, are opening up your Bibles. If you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, guys, they have the KJVAAE. That is the King James Version with the Apocryphas. Okay, guys. And you can also download the Sefer as well on your phones. All right. So anyway, go ahead, sis, for no further ado. Get it.
Okay, let's get into it. So it says Toviyahu. So it says Toviyahu, also called the Book of Tobit. And yes, beginning chapter one, it says, the Sefer of the words of Toviyahu, son of Toviel, the son of Anael, the son of Aduel, the son of Gaveel, of the seed of Akael, of the tribe of Naphtali, who in the time of Enemesar, king of Ashishur, was led captive out of Thisbe, which is at the right hand of that city, which is called properly Naphtali in Galilee, above Asher. I, Toviyahu, have walked all the days of my life in the ways of truth and justice, and I did many alms deeds to my brethren and my nation who came with me to Nineveh into the land of Asher. And when I was in my own country, in the land of Yashar'el, being but young, all the tribe of Naphtali, my father, fell from the house of Yerushalayim, which was chosen out of all the tribes of Yasharel, that all the tribes should sacrifice there, where the temple of the habitation of El Elyon was consecrated and built for all ages. Now all the tribes which together revolted, and the house of my father Naphtali sacrificed unto the heifer Baal, but I alone went often to Jerusalem at the feast, and it was ordained unto all the people of Yasharel by an everlasting decree, having the first fruits and tenths of increase with that which was first shorn, and them gave I at the altar to the priest, the children of Aaron. The first tenth part of all increase I gave to the sons of Aaron, who ministered at Jerusalem. Another tenth part I sold away, and went and spent it every year at Jerusalem. And the third I gave unto them to whom it was meet, as Deborah, my father's mother, had commanded me, because I was left an orphan by my father.
Now wait, sis, I want to pause you right there. So right here, guys, we see from verses 1 to 8 that he was devout. Mm-hmm. He was devout. Remember, Deborah was the fourth judge over Israel. She was a prophetess, and she also was a judge over Israel. And this is the woman who raised him, okay, family? So I want you guys to just get a visualization as to how zealous he was, and why, and who taught him, what cloth he was cut from. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if I could also jump in and just add, as we go through all of these chapters, as you're listening, keep an ear out for alms and alms deeds. That was such a major theme that I kept seeing over and over. Every time I saw it, I wrote it down.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something to definitely be talked about, because it's very thorough about that particular thing.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Let's keep giving it to him. Verse 9.
So verse 9. Furthermore, when I was come to the age of a man, I married Chanah of my own kindred, and of her I begat Toviyahu. And when we were carried away captives to Nineveh, all my brethren and those that were of my kindred did eat of the bread of the other nations. But I kept myself from eating, because I remembered Elohim with all my heart, and El Elyon gave me grace and favor before Enemessar, so that I was his purveyor. And I went to Madai and left in the trust with Gavael, the brother of Gavriahu, at Rages, a city of Madai, 10 talents of silver. Now when Enemessar was dead, Canchariv, his son, reigned in his stead, whose estate was troubled, that I could not go into Madai. And in the time of Enemessar, I gave many alms to my brethren, and gave my bread to the hungry, and my clothes to the naked. And if I saw any of my nation dead, or cast about the walls of Nineveh, I buried him. And if the king Canchariv had slain any when he was come and fled from Yehuda, I buried them privily. For in his wrath he killed many, but the bodies were not found. And when they were sought for the king, And when one of the inhabitants of Nineveh went and complained of me to the king, that I buried them and hid myself, understanding that I was sought for to be put to death, I withdrew myself for fear. Then all my goods were forcibly taken away, neither was there anything left me beside my woman Chanah and my son Toviyahu. And there passed not 55 days before two of his sons killed him, and they fled into the mountains of Ararat. And Ikar Chadon, his son, reigned in his stead, who appointed over his father's accounts and over all his affairs. Archiarus, my brother Anael's son. And Archiarus, entreating for me, I returned to Nineveh. Now Archiarus was cupbearer and keeper of the signet, and steward and overseer of the accounts. And Ikar Chadon appointed him next unto him, and he was my brother's son.
All right, now. So, sis, are there any points that you want to bring out right now? Because there's one in particular that I did kind of bookmark while you were reading, but I'm going to let you crack at it first.
So the things, like I told you, and like I'm telling the listeners, the very first thing that stood out to me was the word alms deeds, because honestly, I didn't know. I was like, what is an alms deed? So I had to look it out. And it is, you know, it is giving of money or food to the poor. And, you know, this is a man from what we're reading in this first chapter who had enough. You know, he had everything. He had the favor of the ruler of Enemasar, and in that he still found it right, because he was righteous, right, to make sure that he was following the will of Elohim, and he was giving to those who were in need. And also, I was just thinking, wow, about this man just burying, I don't want to say random, because they were, you know, they were of his tribe, but, you know, it is kind of random. It's not like he knew these people, just saying, I need to bury the dead, because as we know, the dead were not supposed to be left after, I think it was after sunset.
Right, right.
And so he took it upon himself. There
was a time, so I believe it was after you had contact with the dead, you were unclean until evening.
So those things, and then, you know, like he said, because of being righteous, he was persecuted and had to go into hiding. But
that's what brings me to, because where was this taking place? And that's the key that I want the listeners to point out right here. There's a lot of historical wickedness in this place where he was. Where was this taking place then?
In Nineveh.
Who was told to go and speak against Nineveh, or speak a word to Nineveh for repentance?
Jonah.
Right. So now, remember, this had to have happened before the time of Jonah, to my understanding. And I'll look deeper just to make sure, because I don't want to be off, but I believe this was before the time of Jonah. So this is one of the things that took place with these people that caused some of their judgment. How wicked and treacherous they were. First of all, they took us captive. Mm-hmm. What does the word say that Yahuwah will do to all of those that crack the whip against Yaakov?
He's going to crack the whip against them.
That part. Okay. So, I'm recognizing a tone here. Do you not remember when Yahusha, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you came to my side. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they said, well, when did we see you like this? He said, when you did it to the least of these. So do you not see the heart of Yah operating in Tobit at this time, giving alms deeds to the poor, making sure that he took care of the house of Yaakov honorably, right? So no good, and this is where I believe the saying, no good deed goes unpunished. You see what I'm saying? So let's continue. We're going to go into chapter 2, unless there's anything else that you want to expound upon right now.
No, not yet.
Alrighty, so we're going to go now to chapter 2. Of the book of Tobit. And family, again, like my sister said, these names okay. Now, when I was come home again, and my woman Hannah was restored unto me with my son Tobiyahu in the feast of Shavuot, and this is what the feast of Pentecost for some. This is the feast of the Holy Spirit after this time. But see, and I'm glad that you see here, this is the Feast of Shavuot, and this was before, guys, the upper room event that took place, but that was also a Shavuot to them, but a New Testament Shavuot, okay? So I'm sorry. Let me get back to this. Okay, so in the Feast of Shavuot, which is the holy feast of the 7 weeks, there was a good dinner prepared me, in which I sat down to eat. And when I saw the abundance of meat, I said to my son, go and bring what poor, look at this right here. And bring what poor man soever you shall find of our brethren, who is mindful of Yahweh, and lo, I tarry for you. Guys, this is because, so first of all, the feasts were to always be taken seriously. And again, this man who was raised by the prophetess, by the judge, Deborah, says, go and find some of our own and bring them in that they may honor Yahuwah with us. His faithfulness is it's astounding to me. Verse 3, but he came again and said, Father, one of our nation is strangled and is cast out in the marketplace. Then before I had tasted of any meat, I started up and took him up into a room until the going down of the sun. Then I returned and washed myself and ate my meat in heaviness. Again, guys, because remember, it's not like he could go just take him in the room and put him there real quick and then go back to eat. No, because by law, the law given through Moshe, once you had contact with a dead body, you yourself were uncleaned until evening. Okay? Verse 6. Remembering that prophecy of Amok, as he said, your feasts shall be turned into mourning and all your mirth into lamentation. Again, family, the Feast of Shavuot is a time of rejoicing, is it not? Mm-hmm. But now he's what? He had his meat in heaviness. And he remembered the words of the prophet Amos or Amok, as he said, your feast shall be turned into mourning and all your mirth into lamentation. Verse 7, therefore I wept, and after the going down of the sun, I went and made a grave and buried him. But my neighbors mocked me and said, this man is not yet afraid to be put to death for this matter. Who fled away? And yet, lo, he buries the dead again. The same night also I returned from the burial and slept by the wall of my courtyard, being polluted, and my face was uncovered. And I knew not. See, wait, I want to go back here. I want to know, what did he mean here by being polluted? Uncovered. No, not uncovered. Not uncovered, because right here, I understand that to be, you know, he's just sitting out there and he has nothing over his face and he kind of just laying back or whatever. And this is how the dung accident in the eyes happens. Mm-hmm. But the word that caught out to me here, listen, verse 9, the same night also I returned from the burial and slept by the wall of my courtyard, being polluted. Now, I don't know if he meant that the wall of his courtyard was polluted. Okay, I'm thinking, you know, these are captives, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they had to live in the ghetto of the place. They had to live in unclean, you know what I mean? We were treated like garbage. So we had to be living, you know, more than likely on top of garbage at this time. Okay, because if you show me one place that we ever were in exile, one place where we were ever in captivity and we lived well, I haven't seen it yet, right? So I'm thinking about probably what it means here. I slept by the wall of my courtyard, being polluted. But then I'm also wondering, you know, was it because he was depressed and just felt dirty? Oh,
you know, there that might be the wow. Because I was still thinking it was about the
dirty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what did it say? He said that night he also returned from the burial. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he had to wait it out because he was still polluted. That's why he didn't go home. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Right.
I got it. Hallelujah. Okay, so being polluted and my face was uncovered, I knew not that there were sparrows in the wall, and my eyes being opened, the sparrows muttered warm dung into my eyes, and a whiteness came, a bacteria infection, okay? Mm. Okay? And a whiteness came in my eyes, and I went to the physician, but they helped me not. Moreover, Achacharis.
Okay.
Because I know, like, they don't do the CH with the CH sound. Okay. And I remember, like, Uncle was saying that we don't really do the ha ha ha, so it's more of a breathy ha with the H. So I'm trying to use those facts for the pronunciation. So it's hakiyacharas, whatever, and did nourish me, okay, until I went into Elimaeus. Sis, give a crack at it. Try the name for me.
Oh, gosh. Achiaris.
Yeah, Achiaris.
Which actually, when you get it, it's much easier to pronounce. Yeah. Achiaris.
All right, I like that. All right now. Okay, so anyway, Achiaris did nourish me until I went to Elimaeus. And my woman, Hannah, did take women's work to do. And when she had sent them home to the owners, they paid her wages and gave her also, besides, a kid. So what is that, like a baby cow?
Baby goat.
Baby goat. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. And when it was in my house and began to cry, I said unto her, from whence is this kid? Is it not stolen? Render it to the owners, for it is against the Torah to eat anything that is stolen. Oh yeah, it had to be a goat too, because you know the goat. Take that back. It must be stolen. But she replied upon me, it was given for a gift more than the wages. Howbeit, I did not believe her, but bade her render it to the owner. And I was abashed at her. But she replied upon me, where are your alms and your righteous deeds? Behold, you and all your works are known.
Hallelujah.
I like the way she answered that. Mm-hmm. You know, she reminded him, like, you know what I mean? The things that you've sown, you know, people see you. They honored you with this. I know he must have felt terrible. We'll probably come to that in chapter 3. But sis, anything you want to point out here?
Yeah, so going into chapter 3. So what we're going to see, I think, the whole time, and we'll, you know, we'll get to it, is this push and pull, this step forward and step back. So we went from a family that had favor to now this man is on the run for his life. Mm-hmm. So now he's back in favor, only to lose his eyesight, but then to be given, you know, this gift of a kid, right? So regardless of what's happening, this is a pattern we're seeing now, right? Regardless of what's happening to this man in his life, he does not stop doing the will of the Father. He does not stop walking in righteousness. He doesn't just throw up his hands like, why me? You know, and turn his back like the rest of his tribe did, you know? So I'm so glad that, you know, I'm going to get to read chapter 3 because another thing that I kept noticing were these beautiful prayers to Yahuwah throughout the whole of the book of Tobit. So regardless of what blessing or hardship they're given, they just continually give praise and give thanks to Yahuwah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And real quick, before we go into chapter 3, I want to point out that most of us had already fallen away. And it's obvious here because you don't hear about people coming to assemble and gather with Tobit. It was literally Tobit, his wife, and his son. Okay. So I want those of us to be encouraged that feel like, you know, you're the only one in your town, you know, trying to keep the feast, trying to, you know, find out when is the proper time for Shabbat. You know, you're the only one, you know, trying to keep Torah, and you feel lonely and you feel like, you know, it's only you. Take heart.
Mm-hmm.
Let the words on, you know, in the book of Tobit encourage you. Hallelujah. Okay, sis. So come on. Chapter three.
Then I, being grieved, did weep, and in my sorrow prayed, saying, O Yahuwah, you are just, and all your works and all your ways are mercy and truth, and you judge truly and justly forever. Do you hear that? This man is blind, polluted by the wall, and the first words out of his mouth are, you are just, and all your works and all your ways are mercy and truth, and you judge truly. This reminds me of Job.
I was just
not curse the Father.
Broken out of my mouth. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, and that's the thing. You know the children of Yahuwah by their fruit. You hear some of us to the point of, you know, the brink of death, wishing death, you know, dreading to even wake up the next day because things are so bad. But even in the midst of those despairs and those feelings, we know to glorify Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
He is awesome. He is great. You know, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. So I love that. Come on, girl. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Verse 3. Remember me and look on me. Punish me not for my sins and ignorances and the sins of my fathers who have sinned.
I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Ari. Please, I need you to highlight that for yourself. Keep that bookmark. Because on the segment the other night, what were you weeping about? What were you heartfelt about?
Oh, my repenting ancestors. For the I'm sorry.
Oh, beautiful. Tobiahu chapter 3, verse 3. Remember that, guys. Go ahead, mm-hmm. sis.
And the sins of my fathers who have sinned before you, for they obeyed not your commandments. Wherefore you have delivered us for a spoil and unto captivity and unto death and for a proverb of reproach, to all the nations among whom we are dispersed. How many times do we have to be told this? How many times? Right. Like, I don't know. For me, I'm a person, when you tell me the repercussions the first time and they're that bad,
right.
I'm not even gonna attest it. I'm not gonna right. test it. But our people have continually through centuries.
I was just in the book of Psalm Tehillim 78 last night, and it was taking after this same pattern. You know what I mean? Saying how excuse me, Mishpacha, there was a brief interruption. But no time like the present to pay some bills.
Bible study every Tuesday, 8 p.m. We have a Zoom Bible study. Email me for the link.
Send your email to Uncle Yeshua Truth TV at yahoo.com.
Shema!
Sis, you cut off for about a minute.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. I just got a call. I should have put my phone on Do Not Disturb. I declined it, but it still interrupted. So I was saying, you know, it just takes me back to what was in Psalm 78 about how we broke the father's heart continuously, how we made him sad continuously. And you see this right here. We had to be scattered again.
And you know, when you said, so you said, you know, the father was sad because we were betrayed him. So when we think of our Elohim, let me speak for myself personally. When I did not have an understanding, when I did not have a relationship, I had this very vague concept, right? This whole, oh, the universe is God, right? That kind of just vagueness.
That's kind of like a new age thing.
Yeah. But then as I was getting into the scripture, I mean, I'm telling you, when this epiphany came on me, I'm reading scriptures and it's talking about how he has rage and wrath and love and joy and so on and so forth. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he feels.
Uh-huh.
He feels. Oh, we come yeah. from him, right? He gave us the feelings that we have.
Made in his image, were we not?
Right. And so when you have that level of understanding and then you see how when we broke this covenant, it's not just a word that he was hurt. No, he really was hurt.
Burnt. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on. Remember, Uncle pulled that out when he was even talking about the curses. He said, we hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
We killed his only begotten son. That made him feel
mm-hmm.
some kind of way.
And yeah. if you can imagine how intensely we feel mm-hmm. at times, can you imagine mm-hmm. how much greater the creator, right. the designer, the architect
of all, right.
of all feels? And how much patience we can't even fathom.
Right.
And grace, right. we can't even fathom.
I'm telling you. Hmm. But all right, sis, come
okay.
on. Let's get
okay. So verse 5. And now And now your judgments are many and true. Deal with me according to my sins and my father's. Because we have not kept your commandments, neither have we walked in truth before you. Now, therefore, deal with me as seems best unto you, and command my ruach to be taken from me, that I may be dissolved and become earth. For it is profitable for me to die rather than to live, because I have heard false reproaches and have much sorrow. Command, therefore, that I may now be delivered out of this distress and go into the everlasting place. Turn not your face away from me. And this is sad right here, yo.
You know what just hit me as you were reading it? And let this be a warning to some of you stiff-necked ones, okay? How many people are saying this is not right, what's happening to us because of our ancestors? We didn't do it. We wouldn't have done it. We would have obeyed. Okay, and you know, really, really just angry at the ancestors, but also angry at the Father. Let me explain something. Do you guys not see the example here in the book of Tobit? Because we understand that all of Yahuwah's judgments are righteous and true. Okay, there is a certain thing that is passed down in the DNA and it's coded. Certain things are innate. Okay, and the Father understands the way he formed his people. You understand? So he knew how many generations had to be weeded out. How many generations of tares had to be separated from the generations of wheat, from the generations of those that would come back to him, from the generation of those that would be called by his name and return unto the ways and please him once again. Okay, so let it not be strange to you or that, you know, you harbor anything in your heart thinking that anything that has happened to us is unjust in any wise. I just wanted to hear that.
Yes.
Because I find this amazing how he's crying out. He's going through distress. And he's even saying, like, you know, for it is profitable for me to live
or to
die. I'm sorry. It is profitable for me to die rather than to live, because I have heard the false reproaches and have much sorrow. I mean, his heart was broken. He didn't want to be here anymore, because of the persecution of his righteousness. And he didn't even take it like that. Like, they doing this to me because I'm righteous. Never once did he boast in himself. He said, because of my sins of my ancestors, then this is probably right that this is happening to me, to paraphrase.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Okay. So this is where it starts to get like another level of interesting, right? It's already interesting. There's already a lot of depth, but okay, let me go ahead. Verse 7. And it came to pass the same day that in Ecbatane, a city of Madai, Sarah, the daughter of Reuel, who was also reproached by her father's maids, because that she had been married to seven men, whom Asmodeus, the evil Ruach, had killed before they had lain with her. Do you not know, said they, that you have strangled your men? You have had already seven men, neither were you named after any of them. Wherefore do you beat us for them? If they be dead, go your ways after them. Let us never see of you either son or daughter. When she heard these things, she was very sorrowful, so that she thought to have strangled herself. And she said, I am the only daughter of my father, and if I do this, it shall be a reproach unto him, and I shall bring his old age with sorrow unto the grave. Then she prayed toward the window and said, I'm going to stop here. She's caught in this conflict, right? Can you imagine having somebody say to you, well, you should just die too. You kill these men, you should just die too, and you shouldn't have any children. Horrible.
Right. You know, it's funny. I used to be really a big fan of watching like Nollywood movies and African culture movies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like if a woman, like say she had multiple miscarriages or even just like this, if, you know, she was a widow of multiple husbands, they would automatically treat her that way. They would ostracize her, ridicule her, rebuke her, say she was like a black widow. You know what I mean? So in that, in this culture, you know, because this was our culture, okay, that was a real bad omen, and they treated you harshly, okay? But then another thing that stuck out to me was, these were her father's maids. I'm wondering if it was their sons, because, you know, we didn't marry outside, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if, you know, when these men got to a certain age, they had to be, you know, it was arranged that they be betrothed to her, because for them to be coming at her like that, these women were hurt and angry. You know what I mean? So they're not understanding that it was Asmodeus. They didn't understand that there was an evil Ruach. They had no discernment. These people were wicked, okay? Because if these were people of Yahuwah, they would have known how to handle accordingly and pray that Ruach out. But see, no, they wanted to attack the person, that righteous girl. Mm-hmm. Whose heart, look at the prayer that she made.
Mm-hmm. Righteous girl. Let's go into it.
And they were wicked, okay? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, verse 11, then she prayed toward the window and said, blessed are you, O Yahuwah Elohai, and your holy and glorious name is blessed and honorable forever. Let all your works praise you forever. This is what I'm talking about. These prayers, they don't begin with, can you please help me? Can you do this for me? You know, these can you strike these people down? No, just blessed are you.
Mm-hmm.
Just so humble.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Okay, verse 12. And now, O Yahuwah, I set my eyes and my face toward you, and I say, take me out of the earth, that I may hear no more the reproach. You know, Adonai, that I am pure from all sin with man, and that I never polluted my name, nor the name of my father in the land of my captivity. I am the only daughter of my father, neither has he any children to be his heir, neither any near kinsman, nor any son of his alive, to whom I may keep myself for a woman. My seven men are already dead, and why should I live? But if it please not you that I should die, command some regard to be had of me, and pity taken of me, that I hear no more reproach.
No, I feel it so deeply. I just didn't even have anything to say. Mm-hmm. I'm just over here like, because I'm feeling this. Like,
So here's where when I started reading this, I was like, okay, here we go. So verse 16. So the prayers of them both were heard before the majesty of the great Elohim, and Raphael was sent to heal them both.
Who was Raphael? Yes. You see, because I'm going to tell you guys something. Not one tear, okay? Not one sigh, not one song, okay, of the righteous doesn't make it into the ears of Elohim, okay? Even if it is the Malachim that he's given charge over you reporting to him, okay? He knows. So he heard their cries. Hallelujah. Come on, girl.
Mm-hmm. And Raphael was sent to heal them both. That is, to scale away the whiteness of Toviyahu's eyes and to give Sarah, the daughter of Reuel, for a woman to Toviyahu, the son of Toviyahu, and to bind Asmodeus, the evil Ruach, because she belonged to Toviyahu by right of inheritance. The self-same time came Toviyahu home and entered into his house, and Sarah, the daughter of Reuel, came down from her upper chamber. Okay, so that ends chapter 3, but I just wanted to point out, and I don't know, maybe you read it differently, but when it said, when it said that she belonged to Toviyahu by right of inheritance, this was already commanded.
Hallelujah. You hit it.
Yes.
You took what I was waiting to say. Come on, go ahead. Let's go.
And I hate to jump ahead, but as we'll see, neither one of them knew that this was already commanded, that this was going to happen. And so we need to take that into account in our own lives. You know, those of us that are still waiting in this particular case, you know, waiting for the right relationship, we'll say,
hallelujah.
You never know what Yah has already ordained for you. So hallelujah. That's all I had to say about that one.
Okay, so I'm going to jump in here a little bit. Okay, number one. Now we're going to bring this to the Brit Hadasha. We're going to bring this to New Testament. Does it not say all things work together for the good of those who are called according to the purposes of Yahuwah? It works together for the good of those that love Yahuwah and are called according to his purpose, right? I wanted to bring that out. And also, does it not say in Yeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, right? So before the day of their birth, before the day of their conception, okay, it was already destined, like she said, that they would meet. So this is what I want to let you guys know. Your kingdom spouse has already been fashioned for you, okay? And the thing about it is, things have to be ruachly aligned. So think it not strange, the family that Yahuwah is placing before some of us, okay? Think it not strange, the maybe that person on your job that you've been able to fellowship with, or your school. Look around you and open your eyes and pray for Yahuwah to always show you what he's doing in your life. When you're in the will of the Father, he starts to bring you into your destiny and into your purpose. It's us, okay? That this is why the word says, I bring before you today, or I place before you today, the blessing and the curse, right? So if you walk in the blessings and in the ways of Yahuwah, you know, keeping his mitzvah, you know, following the Torah, then he has the blessings for you, for your father knows what you stand in need of, okay? So it is only when you don't make the right choices, when you choose not the blessings, okay, and you don't, you know, adhere to your parents' instructions or your elders' instructions, or you don't adhere to what you see yourself right there in the word, okay, and now you're struggling, now you're suffering, now that which Yahuwah has for you is on hold, okay? So I need you guys to pay attention to these verses that we share with you, because Yahuwah allowed them for our learning, family, for our example, family. Do you guys not see the righteous prayers that this young woman made? She never was, woe is me, all my dudes is dead, I can't keep a dude, you know, no. And she even, and being real, y'all, she was grieved to the point where she's like, it don't even make sense for me to keep living. Mm-hmm. But never not once did she take it into her own hand. Nope, she esteemed her father over herself because she didn't want to bring shame to her father. That was another proof of her righteousness. Worrying about somebody before herself. The same thing like her soon, you know, is coming, her father-in-law, all right? He esteemed others other than himself, and it was because of the heart that they had, because of the fruit that was on the inside of them, because of the ruach that was on the inside of them, because who they were, who they are before Yahuwah formed them in the belly. Family, is there anything else that you want to say? Because we're going to be able to just wrap it right on up.
One last thing. Again, back to the prayers. I think for me, even as I've read that prayer for the second time from, you know, yesterday and today, this is a model. This whole book is a model. Of how we should conduct ourselves. It's instruction, you know, which we already know. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is what I need to do when I'm praying. Let me stop before I pray. And even though I try to do that regularly, just, you know, give thanks just because of who he is, even more, like I need to feel it even more in my heart as I'm saying it, even more.
I love it. That was food. That was food right there. Family, let what my sister said help you even try to attain a deeper connection with your father in your prayer. Guys, these were model prayers, just like she said, not prayers in selfishness, always admonishing the father, always exalting the father. So right, so right. Since I'm so proud of us, you know why?
Why?
It has been 43 minutes and counting.
I know,
and
you
remember,
said we're just going to do 45 minutes. I was like, oh, look at this.
We hit it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So come on. I love the opening prayer. Can you please close us out? And then, y'all willing, if we do another segment together. Wait a minute. We have to actually, we're going to finish the book of Tobit for you guys together. Yes, sis?
Yes, yes, yes.
Awesome. So this is our series. And so we'll be coming back in. Can we say next Tuesday again?
Yes, next Tuesday. Three.
Awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going on, guys, at 3 p.m. But whatever time you guys chime in, we say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, okay, so let me, if you don't mind, I'll just get into a prayer real quick.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Abba Yah, we just thank you for your instruction. We thank you for the words that you have left for us. We thank you for the books that are being revealed, so that your people can know you even deeper, can come back into covenant and take their rightful place. But, you know, first and foremost, we need to do right by you, Father. And this is exactly what we're trying to do. And so, again, we just pray that this word reaches as many ears as you would allow us to, and that they can take this into their hearts, into their ruach. And that it washes them, makes them new, makes them think, makes them hungry, makes them seek your face even more, Father. In your name, Abba Yah, in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, in the name of our Kadesh, Amen.
Hallelujah, Amen. Thank you so much, Ari. I love you.
Oh, thank you again. All right.
Until next time.
Okay, bye, guys.